your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Jen Cruz, your host, and this is the Journey Radio Show. I've got a very special guest on the show with me tonight, and we're having a paranormal chat with Larry Stillay. Welcome to the show, Larry. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Well, I'm so glad you could join me tonight so we can talk about all things paranormal. We had discussed a couple of topics within that general topic. I was going to direct people to look at a photograph that I shared for the show. And it was one that I actually took myself. And we were at a concert. And the way I take selfies, I just do click, 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 one after the other, after the other. They're very quick. There's really no time in between them. So what happens when some type of an anomaly shows up in one of the photographs in the middle of my selfie session? What do you think about that, Larry?
I look at that photograph and it was very interesting. At that particular venue, there is just no way that someone could have came up behind us and just, you know, photobombed. So it was just very interesting. And the way it's shaped, too, is different. You see one thing and I see another, but it's still there. It's very, very prominent.
Yes. So I'm going to encourage people to go to the Journey on Radio on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/The Journey on Radio and check out the picture that I posted for the show tonight. I'm going to get on there in a little bit and post the pictures before and after it with it in the middle so that they can see what the background actually looked like. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself as a paranormal investigator while I post those photographs. Would that be okay with you, Larry?
Yes, that would be just fine. Well, my name is Larry Stillay. Of course, been on Para-X before, and I'm a paranormal investigator. And these last couple of months, I've kind of taken a hiatus after Paracon. But what I've done in my little sabbatical is I've gone to other paranormal groups that are on social media, and I've kind of lent my opinion and other things to other evidence that they post on there. And so that's what I've been doing in the meantime. I'm really glad that Christmas is over and start a brand new year. And I'm going to place myself, but go Vikings. Looking for their championship run. And yeah, that's what I've been doing. One thing I wanted to mention was, you know, as part of this evidence that you're about to show on here, is I've seen other photographs of something similar to this, and we kind of talked about one that I thought was very familiar, although it may seem that have actually been debunked, and that's the Cooper family photo, which seems to be very, very kind of similar to what the photo you're trying to show. But it seems that might have actually been debunked, because it didn't show up online until 2009. It's supposed to be from the 1950s. But okay. I thought it was just very, very, very similar in that one respect, that it just seems to be like a full body apparition just there. You know, and I know I'm probably ruining the surprise for all the listeners right now, but that's exactly what it looks like to me. So that's it. One second. And especially at that particular venue. I mean, it just, like you said, you took a bunch of photographs, and for that just to be there, it's just really astounding. I don't have any explanation for it. I really don't. It's just weird. Cool.
Yes.
Weird. Especially at that venue. No, I keep mentioning that, but it is very strange, because if you see the subsequent photographs, you can definitely see all the people that are around us, and suddenly this thing is just there.
Yes.
So
I am posting that the order of the photographs right now. So they are being uploaded as we speak. So you can go and check those out again on facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And today is January 10th. If you're catching this as an encore, you can check it out on a backdated post. So you can still see those photographs. And let me make sure that they are up now. And there they are. They are live on there. So you all can go check it out. facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. So, or just The Journey Radio too. So it's a bunch of pictures taken in a row. And there's one right in the middle that shows the anomaly right above and behind us at the concert. It was a really strange thing. So y'all can let us know what you see in that photograph. And you can see the pictures taken before and after. So I'm just going to say hello, Kat and Ceiling Cat in the chat room. They're saying hi to me. Welcome to the show. and so I just want to say I've known Larry for, what is it now, 7-8 years. He's always been a little interested in the paranormal, and that has been increasing over the years. And this has always been like a topic of our discussion. Is paranormal this or paranormal that? We've gone on several investigations together. We've looked at several things together. And even though you've kind of taken some time off since Paracon, he's been able to help me out with some cases that came to me in that time. One in particular, somebody had asked me for help on. It was really aggressive. It was almost acting like a poltergeist. It was very, very aggressive haunting that was actually striking the people in the home and leaving red marks, you know, as they were getting slapped. I was not feeling well at the time, and I literally looked. I asked them to take a photograph of the people that lived there right now, with a lot where I could see the room around them, and they sent this to me. And I literally felt like I was going to throw up immediately upon looking at the picture. I couldn't even look at it. And it felt bad that I couldn't even, I mean, I glanced at it. I saw something in the photo real quick, and I couldn't continue looking at it. So I thank you, Larry, for looking at those things when I could not. But that was an interesting case as well. And Larry was able to see. I can't share those photographs with you because they don't have the permission to do that today. But it was a very interesting case that you were able to even identify who it was. That was awesome. That was awesome. So it's really interesting for me to work with somebody who's more. What do I want to say? More paranormal investigator minded, because I'm going to remind everybody I am a psychic medium and I do a lot of remote viewing. And the way that I do that is through pictures. So when I'm seeing something on a picture, I'm not sure other people are going to see it there or not. So I always ask others, can you see this?
Yes, what do yes, you do. See you here? Do that. You ask me quite a bit. You see this? No. I'm sorry, I can't.
And that really helps me to know. That helps me to know what I'm seeing with my you know, psychic intuitive ability, remote viewing that location, because that's how I do that. Or is this something that other people can see? So I've always said I have a problem distinguishing between what other people can see and what I'm seeing with my gift. So Larry is my go-to guy, the first go-to guy to ask, can you see this?
Yeah. You're welcome. And I have all the nice cameras too, so one thing I want to mention, Jen, before we get any questions about the photographs, was going back to Paracon, which was really, really cool because we got to meet both Grant Wilson, which is the nicest man on the planet. It should be a crime to be that nice. And then Jason Hawes as well. And he surprised me by being so personable because I've heard so many, you know, negative things about him, but he was really, really nice. But what the thing that stuck out of my mind was is that Grant spoke on Friday night during his presentation, and then Jason was the next day. And they both had Steve Gonzalez on stage with them. But they both brought up a very, very interesting topic. And when it comes to investigating, I'm sure other paranormal investigators run into this issue. And they both stated that it's not really the ghost to the entity, demon, slash whatever, that you really have to really take mind of. It's actually the client, the homeowner, the business owner, the whoever hired you or wanted you to come investigate. Because they generally are so convinced that what they have is real, that if you bring up anything that will burst that bubble or essentially discredit them. Oh, that's okay. I say discredit. That's a bad word. I'm sorry. Just to shoot them down, essentially. They can get pretty, pretty nasty. Now, I have run into a couple situations that I've run into this. And we were discussing this earlier about that. And one was that I was asked to look at some evidence, and this individual was convinced because there was a light anomaly in one of the photographs. However, the second photograph of the same area did not, and it was pretty evident that this was actually a light reflection from something that was in the room. And so I said, I'm sorry, I can explain this. And they did not take that very well. As a matter of fact, to the point where I have not reviewed any evidence from them ever again. And I just think that's just okay. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I can explain it. The second one was for another one from someone who lived across the pond. And they were absolutely 100% convinced that they were being plagued by demons and all this evil stuff. And the evidence they were showing was taken from a cell phone camera, all video, all photographs. And B, it was really blatant that A, all the mist and smoke was actually cigarette smoke. You can tell what that is. Secondly, they were showing shadow figures on the walls. Well, that's really kind of hard to prove when you have a TV set on across the room. You can see it in the photographs. You can see it in the video. You can hear it playing. And then you can see the things on the walls. And this person was just absolutely, no, I'm being haunted. I'm being this. And not just myself was trying to tell them, hey, no, you need to, first of all, get a real camera. Number two, turn the TV off. We need more evidence than what you're showing. And they were pretty, pretty nasty, because they truly, truly believed. But I wasn't the only person in that particular chat telling them, hey, you need to turn these things off. Go do this. Go do that. You're not showing us anything. So, hell yes. I just wanted to know if other listeners, other people who are in the paranormal, have run into this situation along with myself. I mean, I've other situations have occurred. They're very similar, but these two really stood out. And so, as a paranormal investigator, I just can't take everything that comes across our desk, so to speak, as face value. I mean, if I did that, then what kind of credibility would we have? And there are people out there that will intentionally hoax something just to discredit you, make you look bad, or you get some people, like I was saying, that are so believe in it that you can't convince them otherwise. I mean, you're trying to help them because they came to you for help and trying to say, hey, I can explain this for you. You don't have to live in fear anymore. This is what's happening. but they just don't want to see that. And I'm really glad that both Jason Haas and Grant Wilson brought that up. And, you know, we can't really mention about cases we've done, but we've bumped into this with some people in our own investigations, Jim. So.
Oh, yes, absolutely. One thing that you did mention, I wanted to ask you about, just for clarification. You said some people will hoax things just to discredit you. Did you mean discredit you as a paranormal investigator? Like,
yes.
Hoaxing evidence at their home or their...
Or you get someone who will take evidence that they've submitted, someone will Photoshop something, someone will CG something in. Just so to get you to say, hey, yes, this is paranormal. And then they're going to get you in print. I fake this. This guy doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. You know, he's a con.
Really? I haven't run into that yet.
Yeah, well, you know, it goes along with, you know, internet trolls as well. People who purposely want to hurt other people online. You know, and, you know, it happens. It happens. Maybe it doesn't happen all that much, but it does happen.
That's just ridiculous. Why waste people's time like that? Really? When there's all the people out there that really, truly need help. Mm-hmm. Some people. So when you go to a place and you're not really finding much, you know, I understand people get kind of upset when you're not finding much. But, you know, if you've explored all the options of why you're not collecting evidence and there's nothing there, what more is there to do?
You just got to sit down with them, talk with them. I will never discredit personal experiences because we all have them. We all have personal experience with the paranormal. But, you know, you invited me to your home to find evidence. And if I can't find any, I'm sorry. You know, I looked and went over my evidence, you know, wrote over all the stuff that I'd gathered, and I didn't find anything. I said, I'm sorry. Wish I could give you that photographic evidence that you can go and say, hey, my house is haunted. But sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Did you investigate while the people were there and while they were not there?
I have only been on investigations where the homeowner / client was present. I've not had one. Well, actually, that's not true. I was with a group of people that in a location that wasn't essentially owned by anybody. It was just a haunted location. But other than that, no, I've always, for private homes, I've always had the client there. Some representative of the client was present.
Well, that's a good thing. Because I think that sometimes could be why evidence isn't found. If the client is not there, if all the home people who live in the home leave and nothing happens, then you should try investigating while the people are there. Because it could be something that leaves with the people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing paranormal investigators forget. That it could be something attached to the people and goes along with them. So, of course, you're not going to get any evidence when they're not home.
Kind of like a PK manifestation or a poltergeist?
Yes. PK manifestation, a poltergeist, a personal haunting or attachment mm-hmm. is not going to hang out at the house when they leave. They're going to go with them.
Well, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
So I think that's one thing that some paranormal investigators forget about when they don't find anything. Sometimes they could be a little too quick to assume that there's nothing there. That's one thing that I would suggest as a psychic medium when I've looked at cases where there was nothing, you know, the question came up, did you investigate this while the people were home? No, let's try that. And then there was something there. So that's something I just want to put out there for all the paranormal guest investigators out there. If you haven't encountered that yet, give it a try. If you come up with a case like that, it's worth a try. You never know. You might learn something new, might have a new experience. And of course, that's something we're always trying to have as paranormal investigators are always trying to have new experiences and collect more new evidence. So, for me, I do this kind of work to help people. That's kind of my thing. Collecting evidence, That's kind of secondary to me. It never has been all that important on that aspect of things, but I enjoy helping the people. But I know for other people who do paranormal investigations, they really want to collect that evidence.
Mm. That's me.
Yeah.
And it's just to get people's minds at rest, like this, you actually have something here. And I can, you know, here's your evidence, here's the proof of it.
Yeah.
No, other than, like I said, personal experiences were always, you know, credible to the situation, but, you know, you can't take that into a court of law. You know, you need to have proof. And
right.
I'm one of those federal investigators that, you know, looking for that photographic evidence, looking for that EVP, looking for, you know, that's something like that's tangible. And I'm going to keep doing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love to hear about that. I had Larry come with us on an investigation because I needed some different cameras. So he came and he's got some different kinds of cameras than I have. So I wish we had been able to grab a video clip of that one anomaly that you caught on location that was neither one of us could explain. It was very bizarre. I mean, hopefully we can find a clip of that at some point and share that at a later date. But it was a very strange thing. I'm not even going to try to explain it. But I thank you again for coming with us on that.
That's what I'm looking forward to. It's something that, you know, that I can't explain. You know, I can't explain it. I can't rationalize it away. I mean, especially with cameras, you know, lens flare, and oh, dare I even mention orbs, you know.
Orbs is a touchy subject with a lot of people.
I thought about once I mentioned it, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on the fence when it comes to orbs. And I understand why a lot of personal investigators or paranormal investigators don't even want to touch the subject, because they don't want to slap their name on that saying, you know, this is fake or this is real. But, you know, there's evidence to both ways. You know, it could be dust or rain or reflections of something. Or it could actually be a manifestation of some sort. You know, it's just, to me, there's no evidence either way. You know, so it's right there on the fence.
So how do you tell the difference between an orb and which is a piece of dust or a bug or actually something that you cannot explain, some kind of a paranormal anomaly?
Okay, pretty much dust is, if you've seen other, you know, the paranormal show, they do a really good job of showing what dust looks like. You know, what dust looks like, blows around, it looks like it has no discernible pattern, it's just there. A bug, generally you can pick out the wings. They have, you know, their flight pattern, you can pick them out. A reflection, again, you generally, if you look around your surroundings, maybe you can find out what lights are. I've seen one show, I believe it was Ghost Hunters, where way back when the first show, they were finding these orbs in this room, and then they realized that there's this lamp sitting close to the window that had these little crystals hanging on, you know, this old style lens, and light from the outside was hitting these crystals and projecting into the room. But at first, they couldn't figure out where these orbs were coming from. But then again, if you're in a situation where you can, you know, say that there is no dust, there is no bugs, there is no outside light source, and you're seeing orbs, what else is it going to explain it? That's got to be some sort of manifestation, because it's right there. You can see it. Your camera's seeing it, and you're seeing it.
Interesting. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Either way, you know, if I'm on the fence, because there's enough evidence to go yes and enough evidence to go no. So I'd rather be right there on the fence and keep an open mind.
Okay. I've been asking in the chat room for people to go look at the photographs that we posted up in on the Journey on Radio Facebook page, and if you're listening in the app on your phone, go to facebook.com/thejourneyonradio, and it's the last post I made with a bunch of pictures, and that is a lineup of pictures that selfies that were taken one after the other, click 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 click, they're really quick. And they're posted in the order taken. So there was an anomaly that showed up in the middle of that session, selfie session. at a concert, and so we're discussing what the possibilities of that anomaly might be. You know, we're just asking for people to look and share what they think about that. I see in the chat room, Kat has said, in one, it looks like there might be a light in the background, moving spotlight that caused a lens flare, ? And I wondered about that too, but it almost looks like there is a pathway of something that goes across, like almost swoops down and goes back up again. What do you think about the possibility of that being a lens flare, Larry?
That is a good point. But then again, we know what this venue looks like. You know, we know what the lighting is, and generally the lighting for the concerts that are held in this place are all in the front.
Well, there is a light behind there. If you look, if you bring it up.
There's the projection screens, yes. And that's why I'm just like, that is a possibility. But again, it's just very, very odd how that normally, how can I put this? The lens flare is just like, well, in that particular photograph, to me, what I would think is the hair of somebody hanging down would be the lens flare. But what about that big V shape? That is, you know, you were punching that like a trail of some sort. That's right, what I find very interesting.
And see, I would be quick to say that that could be a hair if I didn't take that picture myself and know that I was click, 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 right in order, like I always do. And how could there be a hair in the middle of that and in none of the others when nothing had changed? It was click, 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 click. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I see Yenta says, I think it's a halo around you guys, LOL. Thanks, Yenta. That's because we're so sweet, right? Didn't we look good that night? And for the listeners, we go to this venue, you know, for years now. And go to a concert there like once or twice a month, if that, usually. And we're often taking selfies here. And nothing
You're
like this has ever showed.
There.
Oh, shut up.
Always take it.
I am a selfie queen. Sorry. But we've never had anything like that show up like that in the background. And that's like typically where we sit, kind of right there anyway. So it's an interesting photograph to me simply because it was right in the middle of the photo shoot. And we've taken so many pictures there and nothing like this has ever showed up like that before. I've had ghosty things show up before that I could see. Maybe other people couldn't see it as easily or at all. Again, I do remote viewing of photographs and maps, and what I see isn't always something that other people can see. So, and it's hard for me to tell the difference between that. So Larry is my go-to guy first to ask, can you see this or not? And so I really appreciate him doing that for me because I don't want to go to somebody and say, hey, there's this right here, and have it be something that they would never be able to see anyway.
So. I've also been to several shows. I've had extravagant light shows, extravagant, and nothing's ever showed up like that.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's the lighting stayed pretty consistent between the pictures before and after it, too. So, it was definitely, and you can see even the people in the background really haven't moved much between the pictures before and after. So you can see they were taken one right after the other. It's click, 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 like that. Anybody who has done selfies with me knows that's how it happens. I am pretty famous for that, aren't I, Larry?
Yes.
My selfie. Yes. So, I'm still looking for other people to chime in. What are your thoughts on those pictures? Any more thoughts on that cat or Yenta? I see timepieces in the chat room. Hello, I'm not familiar with who you are, but welcome to the show. And there's a guest.
Welcome.
Anyone else that would like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening from a phone radio app on your phone, you know, come join us on the chat room. We're live right now at para-x.com and just join the chat room, and that's where we are. You can chime in. Yent is now saying in the chat room, in all honesty, I see a face in the darker part and lots of small faces. Interesting. in the middle of that anomaly? Because it almost looks to me like a curtain opens and like some kind of an alien dude is standing there with another smaller one. That's what it looks like to me with that zoom going across the top. But right in above that, where it almost looks like a curtain opened. And Yenta says, then, yeah, it could be my mind trying to make sense of what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's pareidolia.
That's pareidolia. Right? That's correct.
Oh, so, hey, we're at the half of the hour, so we're going to take a quick two-minute break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you tired of that old broomstick giving out on you at the worst possible times? Then you're going to want to come down to Marla Brooks's Broomstick Emporium, where we buy, sell, and trade all models of broomstick. And while you're here, you're going to want to check out a full line of cauldrons. And remember, gift certificates are sold here for that hard to buy for a witch. So come on down to Marla Brooks's Broomstick Emporium. You'll be glad you did. Just off Route 9, past Devil's Play.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they are not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is The Journey Radio Show, and you can find us online when we're not live at thejourneyradioshow.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And we're talking about a paranormal chat with Larry Stilday tonight. We're talking about some photographs that were taken at a concert that we were at. And during a selfie session, of which I was tap, taking pictures one after the other, an anomaly appeared in the middle of that session. So I've posted the pictures before and after and the anomaly in the middle on my radio Facebook page at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And today is January 10th. If you're catching this as an encore, you can go back and check those pictures and see what you think. And of course, even if this is later, we'd still love to hear your opinion. So please make sure to comment on any of those posts. We'd love to hear about it. Hey, Fred. Fred's joined us in the chat room now. Please go check out those pictures. We'd love your opinion on it. What do you think it looks like? I see that Timepiece in the chat room says it seems like this light appears when your head's touched. Now, that is something I hadn't noticed. I hadn't thought about that, but I went back and looked while we were on the break, and the timepiece might be onto something there. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, I've been trying to look at that photograph as well. I was pretty much focusing on the anomaly itself. I didn't really notice us so much.
Right?
Except for, you know, taking your selfies. Hi. So that is very interesting that it did when our heads touched.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love that. And see, that's why I like to share this stuff on the air and get other feedback, because these ideas come through that maybe haven't occurred to us. I love that. Keep the ideas coming, everybody. We want to hear more. So what do you think why would the light appear when our heads touch? What do you think?
Our energy was connecting and we just happened to share it with the rest of the world.
There you go. That's a possibility, I guess. It kind of goes. Really, go ahead.
We really were enjoying the show, and our happiness just manifested itself as a big light.
Timepiece, as you mentioned earlier, that he was the go-to guy He is the go-to guy when I go ask, when I'm trying to figure out what is actually in a photograph and what I'm seeing psychically in a photograph. I'm trying to distinguish what is the difference, because I can't tell the difference between an image that I'm seeing through a psychic ability and an image that is actually in the picture. Unless the picture image starts to move and to change, which happens. Sometimes I'll see a movie. What is the question with now piece, time piece? I don't understand that in the chat room. And Fred says, it is strange. What do you think it is, Fred? I love getting this feedback from everybody. So keep it coming, you guys.
I agree, Fred. It is very strange. When she showed it to me, it's like, what is that? I mean, I've seen lens flare and other related phenomena, but that the whole shape of it is just odd. And that's what really piqued my curiosity about it. You know, like I said, I think that if it could be that possible lens flare, it's like what I deem as hair of someone right there in the middle, that would be the lens flare, but I can't explain the big V shape. You know, the one, well, it looks like an arm going in one direction, arm going in another. Do you think it's something different?
To me, I've seen in when I'm remote viewing locations, I have seen in videos and in pictures and whatnot, I have seen entities that look like a long energy thing that they kind of snake around, and the end of it has a face. It kind of reminds me of, if you've ever seen the movie The Abyss, and the water takes a form like a tubule, but then it comes up and at the very end of it takes a face.
Yes.
If you remember that from the movie The Abyss.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that. I've seen that kind of thing before quite a few times, but it's not water. It's more of an energy tube. It looks like an energy tube that has a light color. Have some type of color to it, and the color varies. Sometimes it just looks like some type of a heat distortion in the shape of this tube that moves, and you know, and the end of it has a face. In the photograph, you can't see the end of it.
No.
But no. That tube part of it looks like that to me. That's what that part looks like to me. If it wasn't a selfie in the middle of my selfie session, I might question, is it a hair that's right in front of the camera? But because the pictures were taken all in a row, I'm going to say it can't be a hair, because they weren't in the ones right before and right after.
Well, I can agree with you. To me, being a hard rock heavy metal listener, it looks like to me it's like someone's head banging right there. That's my first impression I got of it. It's like
on your phone. Like,
but nobody could get behind us, because those rows are so thin, you know. When people get up to leave to go to the bathroom or to go get something from the snack bar or to get a drink, you know, we have to literally get up and move out of our seats for them to walk by. So how did this person just end up behind us? You know, so if and that indeed it was just someone photobombing, which I severely doubt.
It has like a square appearance above that too. Like to me, it almost looks like a curtain, and something opens the curtain from one angle. It looks like an opening curtain to me from the middle. I mean, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Yanta says in the chat room, it's interesting that it is solid looking, but light would block. You can usually see through orbs, ?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the type of orb it is, because people use the term orb to describe different things. There is the UFO, the classic orange orb UFO. You can't see through those. Those are lights. And those are typically seen outside, but I actually have seen them inside. And other people have too. Maybe they don't realize that they're the same thing, but they are. And that looks very different than what people would call an orb in like a paranormal, something that looks more like it could be dust or something else, or a bug. A bug looks different than dust, I think.
Yeah,
to me.
Very different. You can pick out the wings from a bug.
Yeah. So I mean, just knowing the venue, knowing that place very, very well as we do, and having taken lots of pictures from that angle before, never having seen anything like this appear exactly like that before, I found it very interesting because I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it is. So, very interesting stuff. Another thing I wanted to, keep the comments coming in, you guys. Here's Timepiece chiming in again. The colors are interesting to me, gray and yellow, colors we talked of earlier today. What music concert were you attending? Which one was that?
Oh, yeah, there's just so many.
I think that was Joan Jett.
You think it was Joan Jett? Yeah, I really go too because I was wearing a black shirt.
And I was wearing that mesh thing. Yeah, that was Joan Jett. So that was the concert. It was a good concert, by the way. Very good. She was very good. And we got to meet her. We were one of the 10 people selected to go meet her. So that was really nice to get to meet her. Of course, we often get to meet them in person anyway, all the different... It's kind of fun. Kat's and Jealous. She wanted to see Joan Jett. Yes.
She's a very tiny person.
She is so tiny. When she took a picture with us, she got on her tippy toes, and she is still kind of hung out at our shoulder length because we are tall people. So, but it was funny. She was trying to be taller for us. That was cute. So one of the other things that I kind of wanted to bring up with Larry on the air here is cases where you're investigating a paranormal location for a homeowner and the homeowner has an anxiety issue. We've encountered that on investigations before, where Larry and I actually have investigated quite a few things together. I can think of one in particular where en route to the location, talking to the client on the phone, I became very, very aware that this person has an anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. And I literally said, "Do you have a diagnosed anxiety disorder?" And it flew out of my mouth because I felt it like hardcore. And she said, yes. So I explained on the phone before we even got there, you know, if we get there and we investigate and we find that something's there, we will do our best to clear that and clean that out for you. But you need to let it go and stop fearing it, or you could bring that back in. Are you going to be able to do that? And she said she would do her best. Well, we were able to clear that day, and everything was great. The homeowner was happy. Everything was going great and wonderful. And then a relative came over and had encountered a spirit outside outside somewhere who would complain to her relative that I kicked him out of the house and he couldn't get back in there. And so her relative told her this, and that made her afraid, and that just invited him right back in. So, I mean, there are cases where, you know, you're not just trying to, at first I did try to help the spirit to cross over. The spirit did not wish to cross over. You can't make something or someone cross over if they're not ready to. They have things to work through. But I did say, you know, this homeowner, this is this person's home now. They don't want you here. So I'm here to help you cross over. If you're wishing for that help, I'm here to help you with that. Let's work on that. Let's talk about it. And the spirit didn't want to. And so I said, well, you can't be here anymore. And made sure that I said, you're going to have to go somewhere else, and made sure that was the case. But everything would have been fine if the homeowner had not began to fear it being somewhere nearby, and she just basically invited it back in. So, you know, in these particular kinds of cases where the homeowner just can't let it go and they keep inviting it back in because they keep looking for it everywhere to show up, and which is basically an invitation for it to come back. Would you agree, Larry?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. There goes along with what I mentioned earlier is not only are they keep inviting it back in, but again, you're not going to convince them, you know, that maybe you can't even convince them that the entity has left or the spirit has left the house, even though you feel that the place is now clean or it's now clear. But they think, oh no, it's still here. It's still here. I mean, if they have that thought in their head, there's nothing you can do to change their mind.
And in those cases, sometimes I'm leaning towards suggesting that they move. Not because you can't cleanse the area, but because the person can't let it go. Yes. And they're so convinced that this is going to keep coming back that they just keep inviting it back. And in those cases, if they can't let it go, then they need to move to a new location and where they feel safe and they can start over, you know. And so that those are the types of things I would suggest when a person should move, if they really, really can't let it go. And, you know, I also suggested, you know, talking to their mental health professional about getting some help with the anxiety. Yes.
Very much so, yes.
But, you know, if they can't, if they absolutely cannot let it go and it can, and they continue looking for it to be there. And I know that people can get obsessed with that. Fear is a scary, scary thing. It is hard, you know, when you're struggling with something very fearful, scary to you, and you're feeling very fearful, it's hard to, for people to defeat that fear. I understand this. I had panic disorder with agoraphobia in the 1990s. I understand fear like nobody's business. But I conquered that and moved well beyond that. So anybody can do that. You know, it's possible. But I do understand that it's sometimes easier said than done at the time. And if that is the case, then, you know, perhaps this person needs to move. If they can't let it go and they're still so terrified of it, then it's not that the home can't be cleared or cleansed of that. It's that the person just continues to invite it back in with their fear and they're continuing to look for it. So do you have any further thoughts on that, Larry?
To go along with your fear, what if the homeowner client doesn't want the entity to leave? We've run it, you know, if you've ever watched The Dead Files, you know, Amy runs into people who, you know, potentially, I guess, want them there to confirm that there's a spirit there so they can make money off of it, you know, that type of person, you know, so they can charge for like a haunted hotel or a haunted bed and breakfast. Or maybe just that the homeowner themselves is like, I don't want this entity to go away. You know, I don't like it bothering me, but I don't want it to go away. Do you think that would still give you people like that out there along those same lines as holding on to the fear?
Well, I think that's a completely different category of client that are just looking for someone to confirm that something's there. You know, I'm kind of on the fence about that type of thing. Because, you know, we've talked on the show before, we've talked with Tim Weisberg about tulpas or thought forms, because he's done a lot of investigating at the Lizzie Borden house. And he asked the question there, was this place having hauntings, having this activity before you started doing tours here? And the answer was no. So his question was, did the activity begin because people were here looking for it? Was it invited in? Was it awakened? Is it, you know, why is it happening now and it wasn't happening before? You know, what was it, just dormant? Or was this something that the thought forms of the people expecting to find it created, like some type of a PK manifestation, poltergeist manifestation? So, you know, these are all questions that come into play with that. You know, then there's a place in Minnesota called the Palmer House. And yes, I've been there. And that's not a typical haunted location. I know it's considered like the most haunted place in Minnesota on record, I guess. And Ghost Adventures have been there more than once. If anybody watches that show, the Palmer House is a fun place to visit. When I went there, I've never stayed there. I've only ever had lunch there quite a few times. And I'll say that it's not necessarily a haunted place more than it is a gateway. And it was so interesting. I'm trying to get Char, or I'm not Char, sorry, Kara from is the manager of the Palmer House in Sauk Center. I'm trying to get her to come on the show sometime soon to discuss this, because when we were at Paracon in October in Minnesota, Minnesota's big Paracon event, Kara was there with the Palmer House, and she saw me and she came running over. She says, "Oh my gosh, I was hoping you'd be here." And she said, "I have something to show you." And she showed me a picture on her phone. And I went, "Oh, wow." Because she says, when we do tours of the Palmer House, she says, "I always talk about the psychic who told us all about this, and this native man who's a guardian spirit." And she's talking about me. I'm the psychic that gave them all this information. But they had a guest who was there visiting and took a picture and captured him, the native guardian spirit, on the photograph, and it's clear as day. And it was him for sure. And it was very, because he was exactly how I described him. He had ashy white powder on his face and a black line of paint across his eyes, like Geordi LaForge on Star Trek. I'm sorry, I love Star Trek people. And the photograph didn't show his hair, but I kept telling her when I was describing him that he had such unique facial features. They were so strong, and he does. I mean, the picture is just amazing. So I'm hoping that she'll come on. But that particular location isn't necessarily a haunted, what I would call a haunted location where ghosts are trapped there. It's more of a place where you can go, where the native people, this is what this native guardian spirit showed me when I approached there and did like a formal introduction in the traditional native way and offered a gift. He appeared to me and did like a blessing on me and brought my friend who had passed away when I was 34. And she just appeared in front of me with a bright light. And she's like, "Hi, honey." And I just lost it, started crying. And Larry, you were there that day.
Yes, it was.
I mean, I don't know that I was explaining it very well at the time, but you were sitting right there. What were you thinking?
I was listening to what you were stating and just kind of like taking all the atmosphere of the whole place. And I had my camera going to try to catch, you know, what I could. We were sitting in, I believe it was the restaurant bar area. I guess there has been a lot of activity in that particular location of that location. And that's what I was pretty much trying to do, was focus on that. So I was just listening to you.
I know I wasn't actually talking right away because I started crying immediately upon seeing my friend and had to like gain control of myself. But when I did, she was standing there with him, the guardian native spirit, and they showed me more about this place. So Kara, the manager over at the Palmer House, told me that when they do tours, they're always telling that story, and I'm the psychic they're telling about. So I think it would be really fun to have her on the show. So anybody out there who knows her, encourage her to come on and talk about it. She's a little shy, I think. But I think it's cool that we have a picture of him, because she was so excited to show me that, the picture of him. And it was him. Very strong, and it was so obvious. And she said, "And look where he's at. He was at the my table," where she goes, "where you always sit." So that would be really fun to have around to talk about it. I think it would also be fun to do something there where, you know, people, a kid, go there. And this native guardian had showed me that this place was always used for that, that people would go there to see their relatives on the other side that wanted to visit. And when I've gone back there again, my friend Nikki came back again, even though it was like she had open access to get there to see me. And I could hear her going, "Jen." And I'm like, "Oh, you're still here?" So, I mean, that's really, really a neat place. I didn't feel any spirits that were there that were upset about anything going on there. And I talked to the owner of the place, and, you know, she said, yes. I said, you know, "The only concern that I have is if they have a day they don't want to be bothered, do you have a room set aside that they can go into that they won't be bothered in?" And she says, "I can do that." So she set aside a room for them, for the spirits who live there, who are always there, who choose to live there, where they can go into that room and be alone if there's an event going on where people are there, is that this room is off limits for them, so they can have a space to be. And she said, no problem, I can do that. So, I mean, I think that they go out of their way to make sure that this is something that's acceptable. So in that case, I'm all for it. That's what that place was always used for. It's for that. But before there was a building there, long before there was a building there, and I'd love to tell you all the whole story, but I don't think we have time for that tonight. We'll probably do that on a different show, and then I'll show you those pictures too. Anyway, we're coming up towards the end of the show already. Do you have anything else you'd like to cover, Larry?
Well, I'm looking at this question by timepiece, and she said, check out the video of Happy by Pharrell Williams. This is where the yellow and gray comes in that she mentioned earlier, comment about what she saw at our concert.
Did you look it up?
No. We have a history of, like, if we do anything with our computers, we get bumped offline. So I'm kind of a little afraid.
I know. I don't dare look at videos when I'm doing a show either, because I can't risk getting it interfering with our connection on the air. So I can't wait to check it out after the show.
Yeah,
so thank you for that timepiece. In the chat room. So we'll check it out after the show. Anything in particular you'd like to share with us on that? Well, before the show ends, we'd be glad to look at it after the show. But I would love to hear what you think about that. Anybody have any questions for Larry at the last few minutes of the show, or questions for me? That would be great if you want to post them in the chat room. So, what's going on with you, Larry, in your future with the paranormal world?
Well,
other than just doing stuff with me.
Also, like I said, I go out. I can't say everybody converse, but I lend my opinions to other paranormal teams that are on social media. I'll continue to do that, and hopefully, pretty soon here, get with another group.
Yeah.
And, become part of our paranormal group, because, like I said, I got the equipment and I'm ready to go. I think I've taken enough vacation time from it, and
we all need some downtime sometimes. We all need some downtime.
So start viewing it with a fresh mind now.
Right. Well, and we've talked about starting our own team when things calm down a little bit. But, you know, if you do have something paranormal that you'd like us to look at, feel free to send it here to the show, and I can forward it on to Larry as well. Or unless you have a place that you'd like people to contact you at?
Just they want to contact me on my Facebook page, just look up Larry Still Day.
Larry Still Day.
Yeah.
It's like still and day are two words, but they're one put together as one. So
yeah.
Still Day. And he is on Facebook, just as you'll find him on Facebook, so you can do that. And again, this is the Journey Radio Show, and you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And if you're just coming in, check out those pictures, because I think that was a fun thing to look at tonight. And if you have any questions about anything paranormal or psychic or mediums, let us know. If you've got a topic you'd like us to cover on a different show on a different night, we always love those suggestions. And if you want to come on the show as a guest, let me know. We'll talk about it. I'd like to thank Larry for coming on the show with me tonight. Again, that's Larry Stilday. I appreciate you for being my go-to guy, figuring out what's really in the picture and what I'm seeing with my psychic abilities. Thank you to Sarge, my awesome producer, and to the ParaX Radio Network. Have a good night, and thanks for tuning in. Good night, everyone.
Good night.